Welcome back to our credit series, part two. We hope you enjoyed part one, where we talked about credit bureaus, the credit mix, different trade lines, and how reporting works. In this episode, we're going to really talk about how you can increase your credit scores and how rescoring can assist buyers be able to obtain better terms or qualify for programs they otherwise wouldn't. So it's a good segue into credit rescoring. And when you talk about credit rescoring, what is it? So let's start with defining what credit rescoring is. And that's typically for in our industry, when we obtain somebody's credit report, we look at it and we say, wow, there are a few points off from qualifying for a specific product, or there are a few points off from being able to obtain a better rate, or a few points off from getting better mortgage insurance, which we talked about in a different episode. Then it's, can we work to help this client? Or if the client isn't in a position to buy now because of blemishes or different things on their credit, how can we help prepare them for home ownership later? So credit rescoring, we have great tools at our disposal. So the first thing that we would do at our company is run credit rescoring software. There's multiple ways that you can do that, but it basically tells us if John Doe borrower pays down X amount of cards or moves his debt around X ways, then the projected increase of the credit score can be X. And you can do that by trade line, by credit bureau, and you can also drop in a timeline. So meaning if John Doe pays this credit card off today, what is the projected credit score increase 3 months from now? So who else wants to add anything here as we talk about credit rescoring?
I mean, I think that's a great piece, and it kind of parlays back to that soft credit inquiry, especially if someone isn't ready to buy today or next week. Let us pull that curtain back. If you think there's something out there, or hey, we've also had clients too that have had perfect credit their entire life and something popped up that they were unaware of. It gives us time to help coach that client and aid them to get those things remedied.
Yeah. And honestly, I had a client who thought he was doing everything right. Everything. Cash for everything. I don't use my credit cards. I have them. I don't use them. I pay for cash. I am debt free. His credit score was good. It was, I think, 705, somewhere around there. That's a really good credit score. But it wasn't quite enough to get into this really niche program that he wanted to have, which required a 720. So when I ran the credit rescoring software on there, interestingly enough, he had a Macy's card. And I put a $50 balance on this Macy's card, and it boosted his score to 770. So I said, you need to go down the street to Macy's, leave your office at lunchtime today, and go buy yourself a new tie. And just let that report onto your credit report, and your credit score is going to boost, and it worked like a charm. He went and we rescored it. And literally it boosted him over 770, and that's how we got him. So it's interesting because you also need to use your credit. You can't just have it and not use it, right? And I think that that's something that gets lost a lot, especially in my culture. I mean, I'm Vietnamese. My parents, they don't even believe in the banking system. They have more mattress money and money in safes and everything else because they think, you know, they're paranoid that the banking system's going to collapse. And I'm like, no, you absolutely have to use your credit in order to become credit worthy to borrow money in the United States. So anyone want to add anything there?
No, it's so true. And even if you do have a borrower that's not maybe exactly where they need and want to be, separate and apart from those excellent buyers that just, you know, again, using cash, it can be detrimental, even though you're debt free. You also, if you are trying to reposition yourself, if you've had some troubled issues and you don't necessarily just want to pay everything off and then stop using credit, because you need to still show the world, the creditors, that you can still borrow and repay to get those points back. So you need to still use credit. Don't just cease using it either.
Yeah, just great advice there, Ange. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and then we're going to get Candace to chime in here afterwards because she's got little humans. So this is going to be interesting what her takeaway is from this. But we're going to talk about age of accounts and how does that help increase and boost credit scores. So the reason why I'm going to kind of talk about this as it relates to children is because I did this. So Dave is my husband. We did this for our daughter to help boost her credit score as soon as she turned 16. So age of credit history and age of credit, of the, your overall credit report is important. And that's why it's so hard for young people who have just turned 18 and they don't have a ton of credit to actually establish credit. You know, I remember when I was 18, it was very difficult to get approved for a credit card. Or, you know, you're making, if you're lucky, a little bit more than minimum wage. It's hourly. You're doing all these things and you're trying to establish credit and it almost feels impossible. So what we did is as soon as she turned 16, we made her an authorized user on one of our credit cards that we had had for, you know, 10, 15 years. And adding her on as an authorized user immediately gave her a 15-year credit history on an account that was paid on time every month and carried a low balance for 15 years. And it boosted her credit scores immediately, but it also made it easier for her to establish her own trade lines. And so when we talk about a length of credit history and the number of trade lines, the longer credit history you have, the stronger your credit scores are going to be. And the more trade lines you have, increase, of course, remember, this is balancing utilization ratios and everything else. We are certainly not saying go out there and get a ton of debt. But if you have a usually 3 to 5 will do it, 3 to 5 different trade lines, a mix of installment and revolving debt, and you can boost that length of credit history, you're winning all the way around. So, and I'll let you kind of talk about this for a little bit. And then I'm really wanting to know how Candace feels about this with her kids.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have parents that instilled, you know, financial fiscal responsibility into us. You know, I would watch my parents balance a checkbook. I also started my career in banking. So those were things that I was around. And it is very interesting to find out, you know, like, I'm a big advocate, consumer math should be a thing in school. You know, these are things that really should be taught because it can put you in such a bad spot so quickly. I remember college campuses would just hand out these credit card applications. No one paid attention to it and everybody was approved. And next thing you knew, you were in trouble. So it is extremely important to know and understand how to use it and use it responsibly, because it is a big deal. Like you said, in America, this is how we buy cars and this is how we buy homes. And it's this crazy algorithm that I am definitely not smart enough to figure out that, you know, is judging you really and how lenders are going to view you. So I'm fully prepared to do the same thing to my children as well, because not only will it protect them from hopefully a fraud prevention standpoint, but it also will help them establish that credit so they don't wander out and are stuck without the ability to buy things or finance things such as a car or, you know, if they need to get rent. Again, it just gives them that good history to go out on a good foot, you know, to get started.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I mean, kids today, they don't even know what a checkbook is, right? Like, no. They don't even know what it is. I mean, we were teaching our daughter how to balance her savings account using a traditional register, you know, and walking her through that since she was 11, since she opened her own savings account, that she could monitor the deposits and what that balance was. And she kept saying, I can just open the app on my phone. And I said, whoops, your phone just broke. And I would grab it from her, be like, so how much money do you have? Well, I don't know. Right. So that was the exercise that we did. It's funny when you said I grew up, you know, learning how to balance a checkbook. So Candace, this is really interesting because you are the youngest mom of the group. And you have the youngest children. So please tell us, like, how do you feel about this and establishing this credit history for your kids in the future?
Well, I honestly have the same take because I did have parents who did the exact same thing that you did with your daughter. So mine was just a gas card, but I still had to pay it off every month after working. But I was an authorized user. So I will definitely take that. I feel like it's just a better way, like we've already established, that when they turn 18, it's easier for them to have a credit history. Now, I don't think I'm going to let them hold on to the card immediately. They will have to return it and then take it to the gas station. I don't know if I'm that trustworthy. I have some years, though.
You have plenty of time. I know. You know what? I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing for us, but we let her take her, or we left her on like all through college too. And we were like hawking the statement. And like it would come in, we're like, wait, what did she buy? What did you go to the gas? There's no way the gas station costs you $80 to fill up your Nissan Sentra. So is that beer money or what else is happening in there, right? So I absolutely get it.
You just swipe. It's free.
That's right. It's just free.
I don't know when gas prices were up to $5. Could have been.
This is very true. This is very true. And just really quickly, let me throw in there. Candace brought this up. She said, I had to pay off this card monthly. That is such a great way, actually, to maintain that utilization ratio. If you're able to just charge a couple things a month and then pay it off, it's not going to actually report a zero balance. And that's because the creditors, when they send the information, it's really about what the balance is captured at the time they decide to report to the credit bureau. So there's usually going to be a small balance that's reported there. So I'll just throw that in there.
Well, I'm just going to say y'all are real overachievers. I didn't get a credit card until I was 30. I didn't trust myself to pay that bill. So I decided I was just going to pay everything in cash. And I was 30 years old before I ever got any kind of line of credit. And then it took me forever to build it. So, you know, if you have parents that are responsible, or you are a responsible parent, it's a very effective way to kind of give them a leg up. Just make sure that you watch them and can trust them to manage it.
Oh, so you were one of those that thought, oh, I'm just going to pay for cash for everything.
I pay cash for everything for the first 30 years of my life because I knew that if I got a credit card, I was going to max it out and not pay that bill.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. That's knowing yourself, right? Well, congratulations. I feel like that's a whole nother episode.
The therapy sessions next week.
The moral of the story is don't be Chris. We hope you enjoyed our tips and tricks on how you can boost your credit scores and increase those credit scores and that algorithm that no one can really understand fully. We hope you'll join us back for part 3, where we close out the credit series and talk about the consumer versus mortgage credit report and the possible score range. Have a great day.
As always, you can find us online at www.themiagroup.com and on socials at themiagroup. Bye.